Yeah, here we go now, baby. We are right back in to the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. And ladies and gentlemen, I come on here about every other week, and I tell you, with these NFL primetime games, this is why we bet. This might be the worst game of the year tonight. Trubisky versus Zappi. We got a total of 30 points, a bunch of injuries all over the place. They didn't even have a Patriots player to put on the graphic last week, so they put Bill Belichick on it. I'm not going to try to sell you on this game. It's a complete and total disaster, but like I said, this is why we bet. And we got a couple good betting opportunities here, I think. Although I was looking at the prop market, I didn't even recognize some of the names for some of these players. So not a whole lot of options there, but we got a couple of bets to discuss for that. We have an Army-Navy game. Speaking of low totals, we're going to break that down with Brad Powers. And we have the NBA in-season tournament semifinals. I think five total picks with John Mettler at the tail end of the show. So let's start like we typically do here on Thursday. Let's bring in my first guest, my coworker here. That covers the man with the sexiest smile in all of sports betting. Jingle, so I got to ask you, buddy, the prop market for this game, nothing stood out to me. Now, you bet the props much more than I do. You don't have one for this show, but slim pickings, am I right?
We obviously got to see what happens with the receivers for New England. If Devontae Parker's good, game script could just get stuff over. I hit Devontae Parker last week at 34.5. He's moved up a bit. Game script should get this over. I mean, it's a low total, but there's no weather. Like, there's still going to be some throwing. The big question is, if I made this bet to you right now, over under players who throw a pass today, 2.5. Let's just say -110 aside. Where are you taking that?
I would take the over.
Yeah.
A little bit of fun here. A couple backup quarterbacks. Who knows? Maybe he gets yanked too and they throw Mac Jones back in. Is this 100% guy dressing tonight? Who knows? So I'm looking in the chat right now. Yoshi says under and do not watch. I love betting an under and watching the game and rooting for three and outs, awful turnovers, failed fourth down conversions, red zone, field goals, missed field goals instead of touchdowns. I cannot.
My hierarchy of betting unders probably goes baseball because it is fun watching pitching and defense in baseball. Then football, and then a giant gap between hockey and basketball. But yeah, you can have some fun watching unders in football.
I agree. Speaking of which, let's get to my best bet for tonight's game. Lowest total of the season here, 30 points. Guess what? I don't think it's low enough. Give me the under in this game between the Patriots and the Steelers. So check out these teams. They've combined to score 10 points or fewer 10 times this season. We have serious potential for rock bottom scoring in this game. You might be scared of this number, but check out the Patriots. Their last three games didn't even reach 20 combined points. Their defense in these three games has been absolutely fantastic, allowing 8.7 points per game. Offense is averaging 4.3 in three games. That is absolutely pathetic stuff. And like I said, don't be scared of this low number. Two of the Steelers' last three games have failed to reach 30 combined points. And the Steelers, I've been betting a lot of unders in their games this season. No totals that have been this low. But the reason I like taking unders in Steelers games is because of fantastic red zone defense and awful red zone offense. So they rank sixth in opponent red zone touchdown scoring percentage, conveniently tied with the New England Patriots. But in the red zone, the Steelers offense ranks 29th. So as a result of that, if they can get in close, both sides expect field goal attempts, not touchdowns. So give me under 30 for this game. Okay, Jingles, what are you looking at for your best bet here?
I'm still hooked on the 4.3. That's funny. There's NHL teams averaging more goals per game over the last month than New England's averaging points. But I'm on the same boat. I'm on Pittsburgh team total. Under, I'm at the 17.5 here, -114, obviously on the good side of this. This is a spot. So going back to what I think this game strip is, and you mentioned it, what's going to happen in the red zone. I don't think either team, there's going to be some, even if, I mean, New England didn't even get in the red zone last week. If teams are looking at third and four or longer inside the 20, I don't see either coach calling pass plays with these quarterbacks. Run it, get the field goal, get the points. It's going to be critical in this game. But back to the Steelers team total under 17.5, minus 114. This is a team that couldn't score points with Kenny Pickett. There's obviously a downgrade with Mitch Trubisky here. Everyone's talking about the New England offense, but you touched on it, Joe. This defense has been the lowest scoring defense over the last 4 weeks, 26 points over the last 3 weeks. Their strength, number one rush defense in football right now in both success rate and EPA per play. They take away the strength of this Pittsburgh offense, which has been that running game. We saw Najee Harris actually look like a good runner in back-to-back weeks, and Jalen Warren's really coming on as a change of pace guy, and he's really been something special. But, I mean, the new OC is the promoted running back coach. It's obviously going to be a big part of that game. I just think that New England here can take away the run game, which that's something that Bill obviously does week to week when he plans defensively, and he just tries to make Mitch Trubisky beat him, and that's not a recipe for points. And it's just the short week too. I mean, this is short week with a backup. It's just not looking good. I'm happy to be on the other side of 17 here. And I'm with you. We'll be cheering for some lack of points, but I mean, there is a serious situation here. We could see some bad field position that could turn into, I don't know, special teams or defensive touchdowns. I'm on New England defense to score a touchdown. I got it plus 1300. Pittsburgh was plus 650. I don't think there should be that big of a gap. Back to props, Joe. The blitz is on Trubisky under 0.5 TDs at plus 175 and Zappe under 0.5 TDs at plus 115. We noticed that they didn't get into the red zone last week, but Bill Belichick and the offensive Bill O'Brien did say that they do have some packages for Malik Cunningham when they do get into the red zone or if they get into the red zone. So we could see Zappe subbed out for Cunningham when they get close to the goal line.
Yeah, I was thinking of parlaying both guys to throw an interception, but I am concerned that one of them could get yanked at some point. If you are interested in doing that, if you're just looking for something fun to bet, I think that was coming in at around plus 260 to parlay both guys to throw an INT. Okay, Jingles, let's go into Sunday's action. What's your favorite bet on the board?
Was looking at stuff yesterday. Props came out yesterday, but was looking more side total stuff. Heading into yesterday's when I was handicapping. But this game, we got this number. This number is key. So yesterday, the Houston Jets game, first half under. This number's still available at 18.5 minus 130. That's at points bet. The next best number is a flat 17, which I'd still take at minus 120 or better. I mean, the bottom of this game, the bottom of this total absolutely fell out. It's down 5 points, which is massive. I like the idea of CJ Stroud being a rookie quarterback who hasn't played in these conditions, facing a Jets defense that's pretty legit, played in these conditions last week. I mean, we're going to have gusts of up to 35 mile an hour, 20 mile an hour sustained rain. CJ Stroud, his away games have been like Jacksonville, Atlanta, Carolina. So he hasn't really had to play too much Northeast football, especially in this time. And games that he's not playing at home, minus 16 QB rating, minus 2 yards per pass attempt, minus 60 yards per game, passing yards. There's a lot to like. And Houston is 8-2 to the under in the first half total if you're looking for trends. So there's something there. This game could take some time for the Houston offense to adjust, who will be without Tank Dell. And if you're looking for things like Nico Collins went off last week, but you're talking about one of the two best coverage team, the team with the two best coverage corners in Reed and Sauce Gardner out there in New York. So it's going to be a tough game if they want to rely heavily on Collins. And if they run, it's going to be a slog at the Meadowlands for sure.
I love me an under in a Jets game, any type of under. Jets team total under, first quarter under, first half under, full game under. I absolutely love it. I might have to tell you on that one. That is absolutely a good look. Jingles, we will leave it at that, but tell the good people what you have going on over at covers.com and here on the Covers YouTube channel that they can check out.
Yeah, Puck Props is heating up, coming off a 5-0 sweep yesterday with Coco. So we're back Friday, 10 a.m. with that. The Blitz, told you about the two Blitz plays for tonight. We'll be back for Sunday Night Football with Derek Hardy and Monday Night Football. Absolutely insane. Plus 30% ROI on plays this year with the Blitz. And it's week 13. Those are numbers that are pretty, we thought have been unsustainable, but his projections have been fantastic. And it's kind of funny that a lot of that money is coming in on unders and big name under players too. So, I mean, it might always be the unsexiest play sometimes, betting against guys, but it's usually the most profitable. So that's where we are, Joe. Appreciate it, everything here. Good luck with the rest of the show. Let's catch some Thursday Night Football, pal. I'll be live for some second half stuff tonight. Covers. Follow me. Later, pal.
Let's go. Beautiful game. Thank you very much, buddy. We will catch you next week. Okay, let's go into our next guest. Very interested to pick his brain about this game tonight. Let's go to him. Davis Sanchez. Davis, how are we making out?
I am awesome. Can you hear me good? How are we here?
I got you.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm good. I'm looking at... I was just plugging away, watching all the film and looking at stuff now, and didn't realize we were already ready to rock. So that's good. But I got tons of crap I'm looking at, and all of it is good defenses.
Okay, so speaking of good defenses, before we get into this game tonight, you're a guy that's played the game for many years. You played on the defensive side of the football. We have this New England Patriots team. I talked about this in my breakdown. Their defense has been absolutely fantastic here over the last three games. Their defense is allowing 8.7 points per game over the last three. The offense is only averaging 4.3. So the defense is allowing less than 10 points per game over the last three. They lost all three games. We've seen shades of this with the New York Jets all season. So as a former player, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like this, but do you think the defenses grow to resent the offenses and you might have a little bit of division in the locker room? I mean, we're 13 weeks into the season at this point. This has been going on for a while. So what do you think of that?
Absolutely, positively, it happens. I mean, and I guess the biggest thing is, you know, there's different personalities, right? So if there's guys on in the locker room on that offense that are, you know, walking around and laughing and kikiing and you know, that's when guys on defense see that, you know, you're messing with folks' money, you're messing with their chance to win championships, their chance to get playoff money, all those type of things. There's tension, and I think the only way that you know doesn't happen is if the defense or the guys who are on offense that are not having success are veterans and respected guys. But if the guys on offense are not respected guys in that room and not handling things the right way, not only, Joe, would there be, you know, resentment, but there's going to be confrontation and friction. And I've seen it all. I've seen blows. I've seen guys flat out tell other guys and units, you guys are trash. And a lot of it happens in the practice. If you're, you know, playing against the offense and defense is consistently dominating, you'll hear, you know, during 7-on-7 and whatever it is, you guys suck and you're trash, and that's why, you know, same shit's gonna happen to you during the game. I mean, and it's just the reality of what it is. So yeah, there's no doubt that it starts to build resentment, because we're talking about guys' livelihoods and contracts and all the other crap that goes with it.
Okay, yeah, so certainly a unique mindset of late for the New England Patriots, not a positive one. So looking at this game tonight, we have a total of 30 points. It's the lowest of the season. The Steelers at home here, favored by 6. What do you make of this matchup?
Yeah, I can't see. I was trying to find prop-wise, you know, I'm trying to find one guy to build something. You know, because the props were so low, I was looking at Tyquan Underwood, or Tyquan Thornton, excuse me, as a guy, just because he played 53 snaps last game. Yep. And got one target. Now, this is a recent draft pick and a fairly high draft pick. I felt like, as I listened to the post game stuff, as I watched the film, I thought he might be someone. He's a burner. I was out there at camp last year. He could fly. He could flat out fly. And he was running by guys, but you feel like he maybe would be a guy because of the lack of success and only getting one target. And the one target he had the Chargers DB. That's number 33 for the Chargers. He had him beat, and he was overthrown, I thought. And so getting one target, I thought he'd be a guy. But are we seeing any alt lines? Because all I see is his 15 and a half, which if you can get an alt line on Thornton, I like that, because if he gets a ball, they decide, hey, let's get our draft pick, our young guy. Let's get him involved. He can run, and we have no vertical threat. Let's get him the ball. If he goes for 50 or 60, he's going to get that on two grabs, right, Joe? So, but I only see the 15 and a half on FanDuel, But I don't see alt lines. If there's any alt lines, I do like some sort of build with that. I like the Juju under. For those who, and this is just the way I see it, but for those who see the Juju revenge game as an angle to take the over for Juju, let me share this. Bill Belichick does not give a crap about the Juju revenge game. And that's, it's Juju might care, but Bill doesn't care. So I don't think he gets to, and he's been a letdown. So do you think about it inside Bill's mind? This is the way I'm going to attack it. I'm definitely going to take the Juju unders. If he's been a letdown, he's been a free agent signing, he was a letdown. You think Bill's going to say, oh, I want to make sure that we game plan lots of stuff for Juju's return back home, make sure he's happy. Yeah. Bill's like, F Juju. I might even put up, that's why Taekwon is another reason I like Taekwon, is because I think he gets more targets. He'll get some of Juju's targets because Bill doesn't care and he might want to elevate somebody else. So that's another reason. You're going to get two. I mean, one more thing here. You're going to get two coverages from Pittsburgh. It's like they play cover one and cover three. And that's really it. I think they're top five in both. Third in cover three, fifth in cover one. And you're going to get a ton of that. And most teams, you'll get, 15% of cover two and 12, 14 of cover six, whatever. They are 3-1, and that's really all you're going to get. So when I look at those two coverages, outside is where the money is. So both those coverages, your wide receivers are going to be the guys who get shots, whether it's hitches, whether it's quick outs, those are open, or it's verticals. Outside's where the money is, but I don't see anybody, with Bailey Zappi, what I've seen from him throwing the rock, I can't see them getting money outside. So I it's really tough for me to play those.
You know, the Patriots offense had better numbers last year when Matt Patricia was the offensive coordinator, wow, which everybody killed them for. So yeah, absolutely crazy stuff here from the Patriots. Anything on Sunday stand out to you, Davis?
Yeah, no, Sunday, nothing yet for me Sunday. I've really just been digging into this one tonight, to be totally honest. Nothing on Sunday yet. Let me add one more. Hunter Henry. You look at Hunter Henry. I feel like he's gonna get a ton of he's gonna get the targets. I mean, he got last week, it was zero targets on, he had the most snaps for a tight end. He had over 50 snaps and didn't have any targets. So I would expect again the guy who, if they have to, the place he's gonna be comfortable is getting the ball to his tight end. If you get zero snaps and your number one tight end gets 50 snaps and zero targets or zero receptions, you would think that would be game plan. Also, listening to the presser, it's his birthday today, Joe, in case anybody gives a crap.
Oh, there we go. The birthday angle. I don't know
if that's an angle. I believe he gets more involved. My best play is Pat Freiermuth over 2.5 receptions. That's the best. And I also like the Juju under. Those are my two favorites. And I will be listening to you guys for my see what you guys have for Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, make sure you tune into tomorrow's show. We'll have an avalanche of picks for you then. But Davis, we will leave it at that. We thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck with those bets tonight. And we look forward to talking to you again next week.
I will send something over for later. We can put up my best play for Sunday as I dig in tonight and tomorrow. I'll send you guys some of what I got.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it, my man. Have a good day. All right.
Good luck.
Yes, sir. All right. Thomas Lee weighing in the chat. He says, hello. Hello to you, Thomas Lee. Okay, let's switch gears over to college football. Kind of a big game this weekend, I guess you would say. So let's bring in our guy down there in sunny Las Vegas, Brad Powers. Brad, how you making out?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me as always.
Okay, so low total in the Thursday night football game tonight of 30. And speaking of low totals, what else did you expect from Army-Navy? We have a total very, very low, though, 27.5 for this one. So the game did go over last year, but previous to that, the under had hit in 16 straight. Going back to 1995, the unders on a 21-6 run. So what do you make of the total for this game?
Yeah, I'm going to buck that trend. I'm going to go over the total here because this is the lowest total in that stretch of 27.5. And, you know, even last year it would have went under if it wasn't for overtime. So I think people are still playing that angle. Oh, yeah, it's Army-Navy. Got to bet the under. Got to bet the under. Well, that's more than priced into this number here at 27.5. I already mentioned it's the lowest total that we've seen in Army-Navy. If you go back to those last 17 meetings, 11 of the 17 would have went over this total. So I like that regard. You look at the average scoring in those 17 meetings, 34 total points per game. So a touchdown almost over this current line of 27.5. And now specific to this year, you got an Army and Navy team that are throwing the ball a lot more. And if you don't believe me, you look at the pass attempts for Navy, 170 pass attempts this year. That's more than any season going back to 2012, and it should eclipse even that season after this game is complete. And you look at Army, 149 total pass attempts this season. That's the most they've had in a decade, and they should eclipse that 2013 season with a few pass attempts in this game. So these two teams are throwing way more than what they've done at any point in the last decade, and we got the lowest total. And then finally, and maybe most importantly, usually you have some weather at this point in the season with this game usually played in Philadelphia. This year it's in Boston. How about 53 degrees, sunny, 4 mph wind is the current forecast. No weather, great weather. So add all that together, I'm going to buck the trend. We're going to go over 27.5 Army-Navy.
Yeah, fade the trend, fade the narrative. I like it, Brad. So let's get into some early bull bets. As we often talk about, you don't want to wait to a couple hours before the game, especially with these bowl games, which, you know, we know what the matchups are basically a month out here. So Brad's looking to take advantage of a few right now. Let's start with a game being played on December 28th. It is the Pinstripe Bowl, Rutgers, Miami. Hurricanes favored by 2.5. Who do you like in this game?
Yeah, let me first say that, you know, part of the covers, YouTube videos, me and Andrew Cayley are going over all 41 bowl games, giving out a pick here. Reason I'm giving these out is because I'm not sure that those lines are going to be there once Andrew and myself get to these games and start previewing them next week. So let's go with Rutgers plus 2.5. I would not be a bit surprised Rutgers closes as a short favorite in this game. Lots of opt-outs for Miami, which tends me to believe that they're not too excited about playing in an outdoor venue in New York in December where it's going to be cold. And meanwhile, you got a Rutgers team playing only in their second bowl game in the last decade. Schiano, their head coach, has Miami ties, so I think he'll be highly motivated. They'll have the crowd edge. Keep in mind that, you know, the Rutgers playing close to home. I like Rutgers here. You got one team that's going to be motivated, one team that's not. And then Miami's going to be down to a third-string quarterback. Love Rutgers here outright. Forget the 2.5.
Okay, next up, it is the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. For my money, that's a great name. Maybe the best bowl name that there is. You got to get that advertising money, right? So Tony the Tiger, the Sun Bowl, it's going down December 29th. Oregon State, Notre Dame. Notre Dame is favored by 8.5. What are you thinking for this matchup?
Going to again go with the underdog. Now, the narrative out there so far is, oh, my God, Oregon State with an interim coach, all the opt-outs for Oregon State and the transfer portal, they're going to be down to a third-string quarterback. But their third-string quarterback was last year's starter. So I like that. He started 8 games last year. They went 7-1, Oregon State, with him as a starter. Also, what isn't priced into the line yet is Notre Dame's going to have several opt-outs. They just haven't announced yet. That includes quarterback Sam Hartman. And looking at what I perceive going to be the projected depth chart for this game, Notre Dame on offense will be without 11 of their top 12 guys who got the most snaps this year. 11 of the top 12 will be out for this game. If your entire offense is out, do you want to be laying more than a touchdown? I don't care that Oregon State has an interim coach and they also have opt-outs. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, and any underdog over a touchdown in a low-scoring game, I'm taking Oregon State plus 8.5 for me.
Okay, next up, last but not least, a little bit more of a straightforward name with this one. It is the Arizona Bowl, Wyoming, Toledo, a 2.5-point spread favoring Wyoming. Do you like the favorite or do you like the underdog in this matchup?
Like the favorite here. This line will close at least 3. It's a real simple handicap. Yesterday, Craig Bohl, the head coach for Wyoming, announced his retirement. He will coach in this bowl. This will be his final game. He's been there a decade. He's done wonders for the program. I expect Wyoming to play extremely hard. A four-way Craig Bohl in his final game in this one. And also on the other side, Toledo's playing without their starting quarterback. So major downgrade there. Wyoming, comfortably.
Wyoming. Okay. You heard it here first. Okay, Brad, we will leave it at that. Have a blast watching the over in the Army-Navy game here this weekend. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll catch you again next week.
All right. Take care. Thanks for having me, Joe.
Yes, sir. Okay. Let's switch gears here. Final segment of the show. We got a couple big NBA games tonight. So let's bring in our guy, John Mettler, one of the newest employees here at Covers. Absolutely crushing it for us here. On Before You Bet, John, you excited for these games tonight?
Yeah, I'm super pumped. I don't know if you saw the court or not. I was kind of disappointed they brought a little red, but the courts have been fun too. I hope the red. I saw JJ Redick drop a tweet. He's like, the best part about the teams that advanced were no red courts advanced. I was laughing my head off because the red cards were a lot. But I'm excited. I really enjoyed this format and tournament.
Yeah, it's added some nice juice to the regular season. I think next year when they have it, people will know a little bit more about it and they'll be more accepting of it. Maybe there'll be a couple little tweaks. I still think the overall prize should be something more than, you know, each player gets $500,000 or whatever. Some type of implications for the actual playoffs, I think, would be great. But yeah, we'll see what they do there. But I should mention, we saw the return of the Sweet Boys on Monday's show as well. We combined to go 3-0. So we're going to try to keep that going here tonight. You're going to do most of the heavy lifting here for us, Sean. You got four picks. I only got one. It's a big pick, though. So let's start with the first game, Pacers Bucks. I'm going to let you hit lead off. You have a Halliburton prop. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, so on Monday, I went full fun police. We had to go under on Tyrese Halliburton's points prop. This one we're going over, but it's going to be on his assist prop. So a little more fun if you're a Halliburton fan. I mean, I know watching an under on him is a nightmare. It got home, but with Halliburton tonight, the Bucks and Pacers, it's like a super interesting matchup because, you know, you can make switches and changes in the NBA to kind of take away another team's best player, but the Bucks don't have an answer for Halliburton. I don't know what they can do to stop him. Even the Celtics couldn't, who have the best, really good perimeter defenders, and the Pacers don't really have an answer for Giannis. It kind of goes both ways. The weak point of both teams is the strength on the other. So for Halliburton, if you go back and you look at, they just played recently a couple weeks ago, and Halliburton had 10 assists. So when you look at this and you're like 11.5, juice to -125, it's not really that appealing. He had 26 potential assists, 26. That's so many potential assists. He averages 19 on the year. That's 7 more than his average. And a lot of that comes from, they can't stop him at the point of attack. He's going to get to wherever Halliburton wants to go on the court tonight. That's where he's going to be. Once he gets into the lane though, they have the bigs, right? They have Lopez, they have Giannis. He's going to be looking to kick out. So when he's kicking out, it's shooters. So I imagine last time, you know, in the game, he was just kicking out to Buddy Hield, Benedict Mathurin, all these shooters, and they just didn't make enough shots for him to go over or to have 12 assists, but the potential assists were way there. So it's the opportunity for Halliburton on this line is fantastic tonight because it just plays exactly into his game. He's going to have so many opportunities. It really is just going to come down to if his teammates can make the shots. But when you're talking about 26 potential assists, that's not a lot of shots to make either. So,
okay. Prop I love for this game. We're going to take a little bit of a big swing here. I'm going to take Giannis to go off. I'm going to take him to score 40 or more points. You can get that with odds of +230. Those are the odds over at FanDuel. So why do I like this? Well, he has a recent history of absolutely annihilating the Pacers. Earlier this season, he had a 54-point game against them. Last season, he had a 38 and a 41. The season before that, he had a 50-point game against them. And this is almost a perfect matchup for him. Lots of opportunities for easy buckets here. The Pacers cannot defend the paint, and they allow a lot of free throws. So they are last in points allowed in the paint. Giannis leads the league in points scored in the paint with rate around 20 per game. They are allowing the most free throws per game as well. He is second in free throw attempts. Let's hope he can hit them here tonight. That can be a bit frustrating when you're betting on his point total. But this game also should have an extremely fast pace, and you should expect a 48-minute effort here from the Bucks. These teams are first and fifth in pace over the last 10 games. A lot of possessions for each team. This game has a total in the 250s. And obviously, there's some big stakes here tonight, so he's not going to be taking it easy. His foot's going to be on the gas, maybe an increase in a couple minutes here. So a little bit of a swing there. Giannis, 40 or more. Okay, John, let's go to game number two, where you have three bets. First bet, you are targeting LeBron. What are we looking at?
Yeah, I'm going LeBron James under 28.5 points. So although I wasn't fun pleased with Tyrese Haliburton, I'm going to do it, James. There's going to be, you know, the NBA knows they're marketing this tournament. They want it to be a success. James is one of their most high-profile players. It's going to be a very public bet game. I think this was priced into James's prop. That's why I'm going under. He usually trades at like 23.5, 24.5. This is 5 points higher. So if you're thinking like he's going to play more minutes, he's going to take a lot of shots because of the stakes, that's, to me, that's all in there and plus some. So that's why I'm going under. Specifically to the matchup against the Pelicans. So like when they were playing the Suns, I don't know why the Suns did this. It's driving me crazy. But they had Eric Gordon picking him up. You know, he can take Eric Gordon. He was also calling for screens and he was attacking Yusuf Nurkic, Grayson Allen. There just weren't enough defenders on the court for the Suns. That's going to be the opposite tonight for the Pelicans. The Pelicans are going to pick him up with Herb Jones. He's 6'7". He's honestly a candidate for defensive player of the year at this point. This is a very different matchup for LeBron James tonight versus what we saw against the Suns. The Pelicans have a lot of different players they can go to. They have a lot of different options. They can kind of how they can play this. The Suns were very limited. Like they called a timeout. They had Durant switched with Nurkic on defense. And then LeBron James just called for a different screener so he could then again attack Grayson Allen. He's not going to have that luxury tonight against the Pelicans. I think Herb Jones is going to be athletically in size. Just it's not someone you want to go head to head with. And when the total's 28.5, that's a lot. So for me, I'm just going under. I know it probably won't be a popular play, but I think he's going to be more of a facilitator tonight, I think, than a scorer.
Okay, next up, we have two for McCollum. Hit us up. What do we got?
Yeah, two props. And I hope my boy Action Jackson's watching this because I'm going to tag Austin Reeves a little bit here, and he hates that. So I'm going CJ McCollum over 17.5 points. It was -110. So for the points prop, so when the Lakers, they've started, you know, they've been using Cam Reddish this year. He's kind of been like a 3-and-D player for them. He did a great job on Devin Booker the other night. The Lakers have defensive options. But when you're talking about like, you know, if you're playing the 76ers, you can put Anthony Davis on Embiid, you can put Reddish on Maxey, and you kind of try to take away those two best players. All the Pelicans' best players are on the wings. So you have Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, and then CJ McCollum. So the focus, I'm sure, will be on Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson, which means CJ McCollum's going to be guarded by either D'Angelo Russell or Austin Reeves. And that's a matchup a lot of teams are hunting, and they're trying to get switches so they can attack that. McCollum's just going to have an advantage the whole night because that's just who's guarding him. It's just a kind of a matchup thing between the Pelicans and the Lakers. And when you think of like the matchup with the 17.5 points, I just think that's too low. You know, I went over 17.5 on McCollum, I think last week. So to me, that's just too low in general for McCollum. And then I also think he has a matchup advantage. The other prop for McCollum is I'm going after his assists too. So it's over 5.5 assists. I bet at -109. So McCollum, because he has this advantage, you're not just going to let necessarily McCollum constantly attack Reeves and Russell. They're going to be trying to get that switch also onto Williamson and Ingram. So what do? You know, you have Williamson come up, set a pick and roll. You're trying to get a switch. Well, what happens is McCollum's going to be on the ball a lot. So if he's handling the ball a lot of potential assists. When Williamson comes up, sets the screen, and if they do get the switch, he's dumping it to a guy who now has an advantage, and that's giving him opportunities for potential assists. If the Lakers rotate over and try to stop the catch for Williamson or Ingram, you know, then he's going to have shooters, and the Pelicans have shooters. The Pelicans have a really good roster. I think that's basically the takeaway from all this. I just think McCollum set up for a big game just because of who's guarding him. He's going to be a part of a lot of the actions. He's going to have a lot of minutes. He's going to be playing a ton of minutes because of the stakes. He's just going to be involved in a lot. So that's why I'm going after his points and his assists.
Okay, big card here for John tonight. John, before we let you go, tell the good people where they can find your work.
Yeah, the player props, I wrote a breakdown on covers.com, and the same with the Tyrese Haliburton. All the props I just discussed, there's a breakdown on covers.com today about discussing basically what I just said. So, and you can find me on Twitter at John Mettler.
Okay, so you gave out 4 picks. I gave out 1. If we do sweep the board and combine to go 5-0, I'm going to take just as much credit as you, though. That's okay, right?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you had 2 on Monday, and I only had 1. I only had 1 on Monday, so.
There we go. Fair is fair.
Yeah.
Right on. All right. I like the attitude, John. Okay, we'll let you go, my man, but we will catch you again tomorrow.
Sounds good. See you guys tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Okay. If you missed the top of the show, we gave out some picks for this banger of a Thursday night football game. Under 30 is my favorite pick. Patriots last three games didn't even reach 20 combined points. Absolutely nothing to support the over there. Another under, Jingles likes the Steelers team total under 17.5. And he likes the under in the first half between the Jets and the Texans on Sunday for his best bet. Okay, that does it for today's show. Like I said, it's not a great-looking game tonight, guys, but hoping you can make some money off it. Sometimes the worst games have the best betting opportunities. Before you go, though, if you like the show, it's very easy to let us know. Just hit the like button right down there. Make sure you are subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel. Best of luck with your bets tonight, and we will see you again tomorrow.